Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Rary is Fundamental podcast, episode 18. Fight the good fight. No one really cares about the guy. What's up, internet? This is the Rary is Fundamental podcast, episode 18, recorded on June 1st, 2015, brought to you by RayRay.net. I am your sexy party host, Ray Moraldi, and you also know me as RayRay. So, I just saw the Vanity Fair cover of the former Bruce Jenner. She will now be known as Caitlyn Jenner. It's incredibly brave what she's doing. And if you don't see the big deal that Caitlyn is putting herself out there as a transgender, then I'm going to explain it to you. Because she's connected to the Kardashians, it's like, oh, of course she wants more attention. And some people are like, just come out and they'll make a big deal out of it. But see, that's the thing. It's not that easy. I wish it was, but it's not. You see, people judge quite a bit in this world. People judge transgenders for making that choice. People judge other people's sexual orientation. People judge other people's entertainment. Some people will belittle others for music tastes or the sports teams that they like. Never mind that those guys that had that terrible music taste and that like a certain sports team could be the nicest people in the world. So I bet if a person sees a transgender out on the street, he or she may judge the hell out of that person because of the choices that he or she chose to make. Why can't you be happy about what you were born with? You look ugly as a man. You're an insult to humanity. So I applaud Caitlyn for using her platform to out herself. When a celebrity does something like this, we become more aware of how to treat others. And then we become better at treating these people equally. And the more this happens, the more it doesn't become a big deal that there's a transgender on the street. And that's the goal. I don't want transgenders to be scared for their lives. I don't want transgenders to be bullied. Heck, sometimes we still say the first black this or the first Asian this because some people still look at people who are not as white as someone, for lack of a better term, weird. People still slap stereotypes on us. Some people may look at me out on the street and say, you know, that my eyes are slanted and I do martial arts. Never mind that, you know, I'm the wrong type of Asian or whatever. You know, some people will do that. So this is our goal, to not make a big deal out of transgenders, and that will only happen until they get treated equally. Until then, some celebrities, like Caitlyn Jenner, will use this platform to raise awareness about transgenders. And after all of this, whether they're transgender, gay, lesbian, Latino, Asian, black, or whether they like the Dallas Cowboys, One Direction, or they still use flip phones, everybody wants to be treated as a human being. Let's do our best, guys. Fight the good fight. Speaking of fighting the good fight, on another terrible segment by yours truly, don't judge me for liking WWE, and don't judge my guests for having a wrestling podcast. Glenn Moore from the This Is Awesome Wrestling Show stops by to talk WWE. We talk about the hottest wrestler in the promotion right now, Kevin Owens, and he will fight for the rights of every man. Fight Owens, fight. Scratch.
Back for a second go-round. The host of the This Is Awesome Wrestling Show is Glenn Moore. What's up, man?
I'm doing well. How are you, man?
Good. The wrestling world is shocked right now. Let's get to that right now, actually. And you were calling this, too. You thought that Kevin Owens called his shot a couple weeks ago. You called your shot the last time you were on the show as well. Kevin Owens beat John Cena in his first main roster WWE match in Elimination Chamber. And you said he would be champion before the end of the year.
I did. I'm still sticking with that. And it seems like the rocket is attached to his backside because he has taken off. He's NXT champion. Like you say, he cleanly beat Cena in his first WWE match. Pretty... Yeah, over, has cut some pretty awesome promos. I mean, Triple H is going all in on and Owens, and so far it's paying off. So I'm happy to see Owens getting some major time, some major push, because the guy deserves it. He's been around for 15 years, never had his chance, and now he's making the most of it, man. That match last night saw some innovative moves.
Oh, God. God. Probably match of the year candidate, actually. It was really good.
It really, you know, told the great story between these two guys, you know, kicking out of finishers, you mm-hmm. know, some top rope inverted, like a Death Valley driver from the top rope for Owens. And he's a big guy, but he's very agile. He's very athletic. He can do flips. He can do moonsaults and with ease. And he showed it last night, which was, I think it was a great back and forth match. And it was a great wrestling match that, you know, it's been, I think, been lacking in WWE for a while. It's more sports entertainment, but last night was a really, really good wrestling match.
But here's the thing. We know Kevin Owens is a Triple H guy.
Yeah.
Is he getting more and more power now? Because 2 years ago, Vince probably wouldn't even sign this guy. He's not into the heavy set type of guys.
Yeah, he is a Triple H guy. He is part of the new clique. And I know for a fact that there's a handful of NXT guys that, yeah, they're down there for being, you know, developed, but they don't have to go through the training. They don't have to go through what the other, you know, characters or wrestlers in NXT would have to go. Owens basically shows up early in the morning, works out, watches some film, and then he's back home by 1 p.m. So he has the being a click guy and being a Triple H guy, has its benefits. So if you're in good graces of Triple H, just like all his friends like Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, you know, those guys will be around forever. If you're friends with Triple H, you're in pretty good hands.
So let's talk about the pay-per-view itself, the Elimination Chamber. Here's the thing. Do you like these WWE Network exclusive shows that they've just been bringing out of nowhere? King of the Ring only got a few days on notice, and now this only had like 2 weeks of build. Are we going to see more of this?
You know what? I like it. And mm-hmm. I have a couple of friends who are in creative, and they actually like it because it keeps them on their toes. You don't have a full month between shows to build up. You have 2 weeks to build a show, and it forces them to be innovative, forces them to be different, and it forces them to actually book a show that is going to be meaningful in 2 weeks. I actually like this idea, especially the Chamber. The Chamber match I thought was great, you know, before WrestleMania. I thought it got a little stale because you kind of knew what the main event of WrestleMania was going to be, so you kind of knew who was going to win. Last night, you really had no clue who was going to win, and I like that kind of aspect for it. I thought the IC title match was a dud. I didn't think that was good. The tag team title match, I thought it had some great spots, and the New Day, I love the New Day. I completely was down on the idea when it first started, but they are starting to get over, and I love this Big E and the comedy routine. But I like these innovative matches, and it gets more of these guys who might be buried, especially with all these NXT guys coming up, you know, a chance to shine and a chance to, you know, compete on one of the big shows of the year.
You know what I liked about Elimination Chamber last night was that there were a lot of surprises. I didn't think Ryback would win. I sure as hell didn't think Kevin Owens was going to win yesterday. And, you know, the ending of the show between Ambrose and Rollins, it was a good, as what they call it, a dusty finish.
Yeah.
Lots of good surprises.
There was, you know, the Owens beating Cena was something I you know, had to shake. I was had to, you know, like kind of shake my head. I'm like, is this real? Like, is this really going on? That Cena would put over Owens, right, you know, first match. And then when Ambrose won, it kind of, with the whole ref bump and the whole other ref coming in, I was just waiting for it. And it was a great moment. But then, you know, Rollins' celebration, Rollins is just so awesome. Rollins is one of the best. And then, but then you have Ambrose steal the title. It's like they did this like 2 months ago with the IC title. Like, they did exactly the same thing with Ambrose stealing the title and holding on to it. And I was so waiting for Roman Reigns to attack Ambrose and join the Authority, which I think would have been great. But it didn't happen, so it was kind of like, yeah, okay. I've seen this before. Ambrose steals the title. It's, you know, what's going to happen next. But I enjoyed the show as a whole. There were some boring moments, but it did have, you know, it did live up to a pay-per-view that was booked in 2 weeks and, you know, kind of announced last minute.
So Ryback won the Intercontinental title, which is a surprise.
Yeah.
But is this the right move? Because I don't know. I'm on the fence of Ryback, honestly.
I like Ryback, but I think obviously Daniel Bryan losing the IC title because of injury brings the IC title back down. I like how Cena has, you know, revamped the U.S. title that means something. It's in the main story. But Ryback having it, you're just going to see the same six guys go after. You're going to have Ryback. You're going to have Sheamus. You're going to have Wade Barrett, King Barrett. You met Ziggler too. It's going to be this R-Truth. You're going to have the same guys going after it, which I think is getting pretty boring. But Ryback, I like him as a good guy, and I, you know, hey, put the strap on him and see what he can do. If he doesn't do well, take it off him. But I don't want to see the same six guys wrestle each other for the next 2 months. I want to see some different matchups.
Speaking of John Cena, in this stage of his career, is this the best work you've seen him do in a few years? He's making the U.S. title relevant. He's basically making everyone look good, even in losses. And, of course, he puts over Kevin Owens.
Well, the only people that he's lost to in the last 2 years has been The Rock, Lesnar, Owens, and there was someone else. I think
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan, yeah. So those are the only guys that he's lost to cleanly in the last couple of years. I wouldn't say it's probably his best work because I'm never big on Cena as the wrestler. Obviously, people, you know, kids love him, girls love him. But as an actual wrestler, I've never been high on John Cena. So best work, I wouldn't. I mean, he's had some decent matches, but I would not put Cena up with the likes of The Rock, Stone Cold, Hogan. You know, guys that when you think of wrestling, you instantly think of. Cena's in that picture with a general fan, but as a wrestler or a total package, I would not put Cena in that. But best work, I mean. Putting him the U.S. title elevates it. I agree, but his best matches, I don't really see it because I think the guys he faces has a bigger impact on the match more than Cena, you know, putting over someone else. I mean, Owens is a great wrestler no matter what, but you know, other guys that Cena has matches with, there's been some duds.
Mm-hmm. But he did wrestle Zack Ryder, which I was very excited about.
Oh, I love Zack Ryder.
Yeah, and he put that 450 splash. I didn't even know he could do a 450 splash.
But, I didn't know, too. Yeah. Then he did the I'm Prettier from Christian's, you know, finisher. Yeah. He used that. And Zach was, to steal a quote from him, he looks zacked. him and Wade Barrett, I don't know what they've been working or bodybuilding or whatever, but they both got pretty jacked up last few months. But, yeah, Zach, he's so over. It's a sad that he's not being used more. I would put him with the IC title like stuff more than R-Truth, but for some reason R-Truth is in there. But you know, Zach did wrestle on the kickoff show, which was nice to see. Got lost to Stardust, but
yeah,
I definitely would love to see more Zack Ryder, but I don't think Triple H is a big fan of Zack Ryder.
So let's look forward to Money in the Bank. Are they doing this too soon with the rematch between Owens and Cena?
I don't think so. I think they kind of expected it. I kind of imagine the next couple of weeks, maybe, well, they tape NXT. So Owens is not going to lose the title. So
yeah.
I can maybe a picture seeing Cena winning or maybe going DQ. But I don't know. You put Owens over with beating Cena, and then just 2 weeks later, you're going to have Cena get revenge. I mean, I think the only way you kind of like, if that's the case, you build up to SummerSlam with a title on the line. Mm-hmm. But maybe it is a little bit too soon, but I would prefer to see Owens in the Money in the Bank.
That's what I'm saying.
but then again, I wouldn't mind seeing Owens versus Cena if we saw what we saw last night. I wouldn't mind seeing that a second time.
It's a great match, just that, you know, of course, everyone's just so afraid that, well, Cena's going to get his win back. And that really does I don't know if it kills Owens' momentum, but, you know, you're trying to build the guy up.
You know what? I can also see, you know, Cena needs a break. And he's been full-time for so long. He's hasn't been away. Maybe the title does go on the line, and then and then you maybe see Owens beat Cena so badly that he puts Cena out for a few months and maybe comes back for SummerSlam or Night of Champions and then faces Owens for the title again, and you have Owens. Because Owens does have, like, the U.S. kind of the shirt, the colors of the U.S., you know, flag. So maybe he does take the U.S. title from Cena, but maybe maybe puts him on the shelf for a few months and Cena gets a break for the summer, then, you know, Owens kind of, you know, brags about it for a few months and Cena comes back and makes a return and, you know, gets a title back. But yeah, it may be too soon, but then again, you know, it is 2 weeks away. We'll see on Raw tonight if they do anything with this.
We saw some of the Money in the Bank candidates. Who do you think is going to get it this time around?
I saw the participants.
Yeah, if Owens is shoved in the last minute, I pick Kevin Owens. And you're probably going to say the same thing if he gets shoved in the last minute. But as of right now, there's Orton, there's Kofi Kingston, surprisingly, Neville, Roman Reigns. I think Ziggler's in it too. But
yeah, Ziggler's in it.
Yeah.
I don't want to say this because I want to hate it, but I'm going to say Roman Reigns gets the briefcase, and then possibly could set up maybe a triple threat Shield match at SummerSlam. I've been saying this since like December that SummerSlam.
Since they broke up, really?
Yeah. So, I would say I've been saying this since December that I would love to see a SummerSlam triple threat match for the title between all three Shield members. And if I think the only way you can do this without Reigns turning on Ambrose is Reigns winning the Money in the Bank, and then Ambrose still in the picture for the title, and then, you know, Roman goes, hey man, I'm gonna, you know, throw my hat in there, make it a triple threat match and see who's the best, you know, Shield member. So that would be kind of cool, but I'm gonna go with Reigns. And where has Randy Orton been? Like, he's been totally off the face of the earth. I'm glad he's coming back, but that kind of was a head scratcher. Like, you know, he wasn't no match last night. He's been off TV, and it's like, you know, where has he been?
I don't know. He's in the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah,
that's true.
But you know, it's interesting, and I wonder who the next two guys are going to be in the Money in the Bank. And like, where's Bray Wyatt too? Like, where's he?
Yeah,
at?
Sure,
like,
too.
All these, you know, yeah, it's weird.
I still think, I'm hoping that Kevin Owens gets shoved into the last minute. Maybe he'll take the Cena loss, but then suddenly he's like a surprise participant for the Money in the Bank and he gets his heat back.
That's true.
I don't know.
That could happen, but I think Owens is just going to do by Cena. Then they're going to probably add maybe they'll add, you know, Ambrose to that Money in the Bank match. And, you know, maybe they'll do that too, but who knows? We'll see tonight.
Mm-hmm. We've been gushing about Kevin Owens the entire show, but I want to say one more thing. You know what I like about his character right now is that he's pissing off everybody, like in NXT and WWE.
Well, the Ambrose thing on SmackDown, if you watch it, Owens is walking up the ramp and then Ambrose comes out. And Owens stops and looks at him, but Ambrose just kept walking. So, I mean, there's so many. I think Owens has the record for so many feuds. Like, what, he feuded with – he has a feud with Sami Zayn. He feuded with Alex Riley. You got a few with Samoa Joe. You got John Cena. You have Dean Ambrose. I mean, that's five legit feuds.
There's Finn Balor still, too. He's a number one contender for the NXT title.
Yeah,
so that's
Finn
Balor
maybe.
Six.
Yeah. So, Owens is everywhere. So, I mean, hey, I love it. But, that's six legit teased or actual feuds that Owens
let's
is
not
in
forget,
right now.
Let's not forget Itami, too. During the Unstoppable show, when he got hurt,
and Owens, you know, the whole video, Owens like, oh, it's a shame. So I mean, Owens could be the man that attacked him. So there's seven feuds. This is amazing.
Maybe eight. Regal, there's still Regal too. He's pissed off Regal.
Yeah, he knocked out Regal. So that's eight guys that he's
legit pissing off right now.
You know, legit pissing off. That has to be a record. That has to be some kind of record between two brands with one guy in such a little time, pissing off so many people.
It's so great. You mentioned Samoa Joe. You happy that he's finally here?
Yeah, I interviewed him. Last week, and he's happy. I get the sense that I mean, he's allowed to do other things. He's going to be in Ring of Honor. He's going to be back here in Cleveland for the local show in July. He's doing indie stuff all through the summer. And I think he's doing New Japan too. What I was told that he's trying to get like the biggest like wrestling, not contract, but try to make the most money. Because he makes so much money off the indies. He's getting paid very well from WWE, and New Japan pays well. So he's just rolling in the dough, and he's able to do all these different things, which I think is great. But, you know, how long till we see Joe on, like, Raw or SmackDown? That could happen maybe hopefully soon. But Joe is – he seems a very, very happy man. He's getting paid very, very well. And he was a good guy to talk to. If you haven't checked the interview, yeah. he's a good guy to just, you know, sit and talk wrestling with. So I'm happy to see Joe in WWE, but I want to see him on Raw. I want to see him, you know, feud with a major guy.
Again, another heavy set guy that H signed. So that's pretty cool. Like, we're getting all sizes and shapes, basically, when it comes to wrestlers. You know, Kevin Owens is a big guy. Samoa Joe's a big guy. You know, Bray Wyatt's also a big guy. Like, I'm glad that it's just not all bodybuilders anymore, basically. All shapes and sizes when it comes to the WWE, which is great.
Yeah, and you have a guy like Neville who is, you know, 5 foot nothing, but he's completely jacked. But, no, I agree. Like, these guys look like an internet wrestling fan, you know, what a guy would look like. And they're coming out, and they're not just going out there and, you know, throwing punches and a couple moves. I mean, you know, Owens off the top rope. You know, Samoa Joe is, you know, his power. Bray Wyatt, very innovative. He's, you know, he's hot, you know, high energy guy in the ring. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad too, but it's interesting to see, you know, if they put an actual like title on these guys other than like a Rollins. You know, Rollins looks a part of a WWE superstar. You know, if they actually get pushed as a main event guy for a very long time. And with Samoa Joe, it's, you know, him and Owens would be a great match, but do you put Joe against, you know, a Cena or Joe against a Rollins? That would be interesting too. But I like the whole, you know, breaking the mold when it comes to your typical, you know, superstar. These guys are, they're in shape, but they don't look like they're in shape, but they are, and they can go, you know, 100% in the ring.
I think people forget, I mean, Seth Rollins is the champion right now. I think that speaks volumes already, because Seth Rollins is not, I mean, he's in shape, but he's not like built like a bodybuilder.
Right.
He's basically 215 pounds soaking wet, you know, his build is skinny. He's a tall guy, but other than that, it's like, it's not really Vince's type of guy. So I think that speaks volumes that he's a champion.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a great heel. He's great on the mic.
He's so good.
He's a cool heel, which I think, you know, WWE has, you know, missed out. You know, Lesnar, people like Lesnar, but he's not cool. Like, he's not a comedy kind of guy like kind of Rollins is. You know, Rollins has that evil heel laugh, and he makes those faces, and, you know, he's you know, hiding behind the security team. Or hiding behind Kane, you know, that's a true heel. I think the only other heel that compares to Rollins right now is Miz. Miz is just an awesome heel.
Miz is so good at like getting so much heat. Like he pretty much got Alex Riley over years ago,
right?
And who would have thought that? Right?
No, I agree.
And
he got over you know, Sandow. With Mizdow, that whole gimmick, that Sandow got totally over with that. And probably one of the best gimmicks of the year, you know, going to last year was Sandow and Mizdow. Miz and Mizdow. But Miz is great on the mic. Miz is I don't want to say a great wrestler, but he's a good wrestler. He's held all the titles. He's held every single title basically there is right now actively. And then he's great at getting crowd heat. He can get booed. I did not agree when he was a good guy, because he's not a legit good guy. He is a condescending, you know, cocky heel, and that he's playing the part, and I absolutely love it. And I hope they do something with him, not just putting him against Axelmania and, you know, Macho Manda. I want to see Miz actually get a get a main event push because he's worth the push and he's great on the mic and he's a damn good heel.
I think he's been so underrated as a heel, really, because he's so good at making people mad at him.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, getting people over like Sandow and Alex Riley. So hopefully he does get a main event push because, oh my God, like the best work of his career was when he was against Cena.
Yeah, that whole WrestleMania.
Yeah.
With even with The Rock too, him going back and forth with The Rock. Remember when Miz actually dressed up as The Rock? He had
a ball cap
on, and he had the eyebrow and the glasses and The Rock's music, and he came out, and people were like, people didn't know it was Miz until like Miz got in the ring. People actually thought that was The Rock. So that was just terrific. But Miz is great in the mic, and he deserves definitely a push.
We'll be right back with more Glenn Moore after this break and after this song.
This is Lexi Knox with WNSR Nashville Sports Radio, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life. This is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me.
Whether fighting or spitting, my discipline is unforgiving. Got you backing up in a defensive position. An ass-kicking anthem, heavyweight or bantam. Holding camp for ransom, the microphone phantom. Teams hit the floor, it's the new fight joint. Like a broken needle, kid, you missing a point. We dominate your conference with offense that's no nonsense. My theme song hits, get your reinforcements. We strike quick with hard kicks, ducking ice sticks, bare knuckle mitts through fight pits, beat you lifeless, never survive this. Get forgot like all timers. Two-faced rappers walk away with four shiners. The raw rhymer, turning legends to old timers. My incisors like a viper biting through your one-liners. New Dead Man Inc., and we about to make you famous. Taking over Earth and still kicking in Uranus. Word life.
I like how all the NXT guys are getting big pushes off the bat, too. Neville has a huge push. If Sami Zayn was healthy, he'd get a huge push. But he's obviously hurt. But, I mean, he had that moment when Bret Hart introduced him against John Cena. Of course, Kevin Owens is getting a monster push. So are we good for the future or what?
I think so. I think I'm excited about – I'm not a big Sami Zayn fan. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm not. I just – not buying this gimmick that he has. I'm Rollins, Ambrose, mm-hmm. even I can say Reigns, you know, the future with those main events, even Bray Wyatt, these young guys, you know, Neville can be a great mid-card guy. You know, tag teams too, Luke and Eric, you know, the Wyatt family guys, you know, those guys can be a great tag team. Lucha Dragons. I don't mind the Ascension, you know, them too. New Day, they're still young, so mm-hmm. I think it's just a matter of booking these guys. And just, there's still guys in NXT, you know, Hideo Itami is still down there. You know, there's plenty of guys in NXT that can make an impact, you know, when they're called up. You know, Finn Balor, the list goes on, and I'm looking forward to the future. And It's just, you know, how are they going to book all these guys when they're all on the main roster and you mix in some veteran guys, it's going to be, you know, fight for TV time.
Yeah. I mean, they could do it. The Attitude Era was good. They managed to make – even Steve Blackman got a huge push as a mid-carder.
I remember him and Al Snow, Head Cheese?
Yeah, exactly. Rikishi got over as a guy, an overweight guy wearing a diaper, basically, and then dancing. I mean – everybody got a push. It's like back then, I mean, back in the day when SmackDown was just new, me and my friends, we would have Magic the Gathering / SmackDown nights, and we would watch like every segment. That's how popular wrestling was back then, and I hope it gets back to that. It gets back to that stage.
I do not think we'll ever see an Attitude Era ever again.
Not that type of for sure.
I don't think wrestling will ever be as big as it used to be just because mm-hmm. it's such PG now. It's geared towards kids. I think it will always be that way. You might have some edgy moments, but you won't see a full blown, you know, back to PG, what, 14 or 13, whatever it is, you know, back to what it was before. But Unless there's legit competition, which will take a ton of another promotion, you know, doing something. You know, Jeff Jarrett's promotion is just starting up. Could that be competition? It's going to take a it's going to take a while. You know, TNA is not competition. Ring of Honor is not competition. You know, New Japan. Some people even don't even know there's, you know, actual wrestling promotions in Japan that you know, are legit, you know, great promotions. Lucha Underground, it's great to watch, but, you know, they have some former WWE guys, but it's nothing like, hey, you know, I'm going to watch this over Raw. It's, you know, it's, they're going to get their good ratings, but is it going to be like it was back in the 90s ever again? I don't think so.
You're obviously a huge wrestling fan, so I take it, 90s shows on the WWE network once in a while. So, looking back, what do you look at and go, oh my God, I got away with that?
I think it's, and I talked, you know, to Jerry Lawler a lot, and we text, and I watch the network sometimes and I text him because he doesn't remember everything he says, but I'll get a video or I'll like, I'm like, Jerry, how did you get away with saying this on a pay-per-view or like on Raw? Like there's so many quips and sexual innuendos and you know, different references that he makes that if he said it now on the air, it would cause such an uproar that you'd probably get fined. Even like last night, he said some things about who someone came out. The Divas match when Brie couldn't come out and Tamina Snuka couldn't come out with Naomi. And Jerry goes, someone's like, well, they can't come out, you know, they're barred from ringside. And Jerry says something like, well, that stinks. You know, there's not enough, you know, it's, they're good to look at. I wish they come out here. And some people on Twitter are like, oh, that's sexist. That's degrading women. Like, it's like, really? Like, compared to what Jerry used to say, that's nothing compared to what Jerry used to say in the Attitude Era, even like the early 2000s when he was a heel. But I think it's more, not the wrestling, but I think it's the more of the commentary from Lawler that he got away with back in the 90s. And because if he said anything like that today, they would be doing petitions to get him off the air, which is sad, but people need to lighten up and, you know, realize that it's a show. It's like a play. It's just go with it.
I remember one of his promos back in the day, he called Goldust a Imagine.
Oh, man.
Imagine now, right?
If you watch even old Lawler promos from, like, Memphis back in, like, the 80s, you know, some of the stuff they said, even, you know, even Arn Anderson, you know, that with Ric Flair, you know, Anderson a heel and Flair's a heel, and, you know, Flair says, you know, hey, you want to ride Space Mountain? And then you have Arn Anderson saying, you know, there's only two things women are good for, making babies and being in the kitchen. Like, who's, if they said that now, they would be forced to have to do something to get rid of them because people would be in uproar. So, yeah, I mean, early 80s and 90s, man, there is a lot of one-liners that you just go, what? He said that? Like, it was okay to say it? It was crazy.
Well, I mean, I'll just say this. Like, I mean, they're heels anyway, so they're despicable, right? So,
exactly.
I don't know.
That's what people... Yeah. That's what people don't get. People don't get that this is a show. It's like a movie. Yeah. Do people get upset that Denzel Washington is doing certain things or saying certain things in a movie? Is there an uproar about boycotting his movies? No. I mean, it's a show. It's like a play. You just go with it. If you don't like it, then don't watch it. And if a guy is saying bad things, you're supposed to boo him. Like, that's part of being an audience. The crowd last night was terrible, too. The crowd was so dead. If you're going to go to a show and you're supposed to be interactive, like, don't just sit on your hands. Like, boo the guy that's a jerk and cheer the person that's a good guy. That's makes the show so much better, and people just don't get it. People believe it's supposed to be real. Then they make fun of it because it's fake, and then they get upset when fake things are said over the air that offend you. It's ridiculous.
Somehow we lost sound right when I asked Glenn Moore what his prediction would be in the NBA Finals between the Cavaliers and the Warriors, but we did get his answer. Here we go.
I said this before, that I thought the Cavs would meet would reach the Eastern Conference Finals, and I thought that any series between them and the Bulls were going to be the winner out of the East. The Hawks, I thought, were just – they had a great season, but they're not a playoff team. And that was evident. The Cavs destroyed them. The Warriors Curry scares me, but I think the rest, especially giving Kyrie this extra week to rest his injuries, LeBron's going to be 100%. You know, this will be fully healed. I know both sides, but I think it was more important for the Cavs to heal up because Irving will have to help guard Curry. I mean, LeBron's going to be on Curry too, so there's going to be a whole gang of guys trying to keep Curry in check. I'm not worried about the big men, Bogut and Mozgov. I'm not worried about them. It's just the ball movement of the Warriors and transition threes that scare me. That if the Cavs can't stop that, I think Warriors will have this series in six. If the Cavs play defense like they did in the Eastern Conference Finals again and play great defense and play good transition defense and keep a guy on Curry and keep him in check, I think the Cavs will win in six. So I think either way, one of these teams are going to win in six. If now you're making me make a prediction, I'm going to go Cavs in six. If you would have told me Cavs and Warriors would meet in the finals when the playoffs started, I would say, okay, Warriors are going to win. But the way the Cavs have been playing, the way LeBron has been playing, the way Kyrie came back from his injury to, from not playing in a couple of games to coming back and having a big impact. And then you have J.R. Smith and Shumpert, two guys from the Knicks who are having the time of their lives and playing well. I think, I think Cleveland finally gets a championship that we can celebrate here in Cleveland. And all eyes are going to be on the celebration because it's been so long, 1948, since a major professional sports team has won here in Cleveland. I think LeBron finally brings a ring to Cleveland and the city will probably burn down that night in celebration.
Are you gonna go run around a parade naked?
I will not be naked. But I will probably be. I never thought that Indians in the World Series when I was a kid. I cried when they lost, and honestly, I am not afraid to admit it. I will probably be crying during the celebration because it's been so long. I never experienced a Cleveland wins before. All their good friends, John Carell is in Boston. He's spoiled.
Yeah.
Spoiled with championships. Red Sox, Patriots, Celtics. And they cry when their team doesn't lose. It's like, dude, you are spoiled with championships. Even think the Boston Bruins, they won championships. All over. LA has won their championships. But Miami won their championships. But Cleveland deserves a title and it will be glorious. It would be amazing, and it would be one of those moments in my life that I can say in 2015 when I have grandkids saying that I witnessed and had fun with and enjoyed a Cleveland Cavaliers, Cleveland, the city of Cleveland, winning a championship. And I can say I was there for the celebration. Here's video. Here's photos. And it's who knows if the Cavs win this year. It could be another 60-plus years before the Cleveland wins the championship. I could be dead when it happens again. So, you got to soak it up, drink it up, and enjoy it, man. Enjoy the ride. And that's what people here are doing in Cleveland because it doesn't happen very often. And if it does happen, this city is going to absolutely explode.
So, personally, best year of your sports entertainment life, I guess, because wrestling has been pretty hot. The Cavs could win the championship. Hey, best year for you?
I would say the year's not over yet, bud. So
yeah, I mean, we're only halfway through, but yeah, lots has gone on for you, man. You went to WrestleMania.
Yeah, that was cool. I would say probably the best was best WrestleMania ever been at was last year in New Orleans, just because of the whole aura. But sports wise, and you mix in wrestling, yeah, I would say if the Cavs lose, I would probably disagree with you, but if the Cavs win, I think it's wins by default just because, like I said, the city of Cleveland has not had a championship in 60-plus years.
I will have you back on the show after the finals is over just to get your reaction on how it went down, okay?
I will be on your show maybe from the victory parade, celebrating, probably not really coherent enough to speak or put sentences together, but you can say, hey, that, you know, I was at the parade for your show. So we'll do something, but definitely anytime you need me, buddy.
All right, man. Good talk, Glenn. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right, cool. Thanks, man.
Hey, everyone. I'm Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. Listen to Ray Ray's Fundamental as much as you can, as often as you can, because it's awesome. He's awesome. The NBA is awesome. And you are awesome. Have a great day.
Back on the line is, of course, my favorite storyteller in the whole wide world. See, I'm complimenting you.
Hey.
Adam Jacoby is back.
How you doing, Ray Ray?
Good. I just saw the Vanity Fair Caitlyn Jenner thing, which I made a commentary about earlier in the podcast. What do you think, man?
I think she's slaying it. I think that she went into not effing around with this mode, like, instantly. Like, I was talking about this with a friend of mine, and she was like, yeah, you know, I'm really proud for Caitlyn, and she already looks better in a dress than I do. And it's like, well, yep, sure enough.
Yeah, I mean, she is a former athlete after all, so of course she's going to look good.
Yes,
in
this, you
right?
know, an Olympian. Yeah, so, exactly. But yeah, you know, more power to her. It's honestly, I'm a whatever makes you happy sort of person.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is her being happy, so rock on.
Yeah, exactly. If you're happy, I'm happy, Adam's happy. That's all that counts.
Exactly.
Hi, this is Joanne Piston Fan, and all I want to do is have some pun. You're listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
You know what makes me happy?
What
makes
me happy?
Is live comedy shows. And tomorrow I'm going to see Nick Offerman here in Iowa City, which is going to be fantastic. Next month, I've got a show with Jen Kirkman, who's also legendary. If you haven't heard her or gone to see her, you really need to do so. I was going to see, now I'm blanking on his name. Lewis Black. He was coming to town, and you know, it was a pretty big deal. And it was a couple of years back, but it was right around this time. It was high school graduation season, you know, the end of May. And so he's on a tour and he's going to come to Des Moines. And you know that, you know, comedians, when they're big enough, you know, like Lewis Black, they do two shows, you know, they do like a 7 o'clock and then they do a 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock or, you know, whatever. But like that's, you
right.
know, so they can double up on the tickets and do, you know, sort of different sorts of shows and, you know, the 7 o'clock's the mainstream one. And then, you know, the one that's afterwards, that's, you know, you get the risque humor going on.
Right. Yes.
So, so I was super excited and I got two tickets, to Mr. Black, and we were doing the 7 o'clock, show. And since I had two tickets, I was like, all right, I am going to give my other ticket, which is an all ages, you know, it's an all ages sort of thing. So I'm going to give it to, my cousin, Dave, who was graduating from high school. And he's,
nice.
You know, Dave's big into the comedy, you know, he's got the good sensibilities. He likes laughing. I like laughing. This is going to be a great, cousin Adam gift. So,
yes, sir.
His graduation party was earlier that day, you know, it was on the weekend. You know, he's getting celebrated and this and that. And so I go to the party, but we're sort of bumping up against, you know, it was a late afternoon sort of party, and I get there and he's wearing that stupid varsity letter jacket, and more power to, you know, he lettered in, like track and baseball and drama. So like he had like seven of those little pins on his jacket. And
yes.
You know, worn it, hey, great. Like you can never wear that to college yet. So this is basically the last time that you get to wear that jacket and all those medals, because nobody, absolutely nobody's gonna care in college, but he's wearing it all the same. And so like great, whatever. And so you know, I'm looking at my clock and he's, you know, partying and being celebrated. And I'm like, dude, it's 6:30. And we do not live particularly close to, the Funny Bone. That's the name of the comedy place in Des Moines. I'm like, we sort of got to go now. And he's like, I can't leave my own party. I'm like, well, but like, dude, this is my gift. And, you know, and so he's like, look, we'll go to the 9 o'clock. And I'm like, all right, fine. I'm sure that I can just hand him my tickets and say, you know, hey, this is for this, but we'll do the,
yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, fine. And so I stick around the party with him, and that's not the worst thing in the world because it's a graduation party and there's family there and we're all having a great time. So, you know, finally it's time to actually go, to, the show. And so, and of course, Dave's wearing that stupid jacket, like, to the show. It's, well, you know, fine.
Yeah.
Do you? Fine. and so we show up and the guy at the door is like, no, sorry. You guys can't come to this show. I'm like, okay, sir, I get it. These are for the 7 o'clock, but that's not. And he's like, well, yeah, see, I mean, you could, you could normally exchange those. We're usually fine with that. But, you know, the 7 o'clock was in all ages and the 9 o'clock is 21 and over. You know, and that's, I guess that's sort of a normal thing for comedy. And so I decided to lie. I'm like, no, we're both over 21. Totally. And the bouncer's like, he is wearing a high school jacket that says 15 on it. Or I guess it was 13 because it was 2 years ago in the story. Like, clearly he is not 21. You're not coming in like this. I'm sorry, man, but the rules are the rules. You know, we're serving alcohol in here and he can't be where there's alcohol. So, sorry guys, looks like you missed it. And that, Ray, is why I couldn't see The Late Show with David, the Letterman.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh,
play me off, Joanne. Paul Schaefer. Yes, get buckets.
Joanne, take it away.
Are we having pun yet? This has been Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Oh my God! Like, I didn't even know if you were telling me a story already. I just kept looking. Ah! You always get me. I can't wait for the next show with you and Zach Harper. Oh my God, that's going to be so terrible.
It's going to be so much fun. Yes.
It is going to be so much fun. Wow. God, Adam, you suck. No, you're the greatest. But thank you for that riveting story. Oh, wow. Okay. Talk to you later, Adam. Thanks for wasting my time.
Take care, man.
I'm Adam Reisinger.
This is Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff.
This is Jamie Nadeau from TWC Sportsnet, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Thank you so much to Glenn Moore for appearing on this podcast for the second time. What a fool for wasting his time with me. No, I'm kidding. But you can find his podcast, The This Is Awesome Wrestling Show, on moreglenn.com. That's moreglenn.com. You can find him on Twitter at Glenn Moore, CLE, which stands for Cleveland, of course. And thanks so much to Adam Jacoby for telling me another excellent story. In the meantime, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at rayray.net. You can find the show on Stitcher as well. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter at rayrayisfun, because you cannot fit rayrayisfundamental on the Twitter handle. And if you want to follow my personal account, on Twitter that is, it's the No Look Pass. And you can also check out my old NBA site that I have not updated in weeks, thenolookpass.com. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to me. Gal Pal Squad, thanks so much for taking care of me. In the meantime, I'm going to go watch Friends on Netflix. Just remember, Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
People think I'm crazy. That's what everybody's telling me. Because me beating you is like you winning a spelling bee. That's okay. Tonight I silence them all.
You're a Neanderthal, so I'll use words that's small. Me, Brock Lesnar, here comes the pain. God built me strong, forget to give me brain. You hop around all day like there's potatoes in your crack. That's a nice tattoo of your mother on your back. Yo, I'm untouchable. You can beat my ability. I'm like a basic math problem, Brock. You just can't finish me.